So me, myself, Mark Hoppus, Pete Wentz, and one of my other partners, Nick Littman, we were looking everywhere. We were going to showcases. We were having conversations. I was looking on TikTok, like literally everywhere. So this is what I tell people, like, always be on your A game because you never know who's watching.
Hello, my name is Emily Jansen, and this is the Leadership is Female podcast. We interview women in the sports and entertainment businesses to teach you the tips and the mindset that will get you to the top faster. Marian Wright Edelman said, "You can't be what you can't see." Let's bring visibility to women who are crushing it in their roles. Join us week after week, season after season, as we reach back to extend a hand to pull you forward. We will lead you forward because leadership is female.
And tell me how to say your last name.
Sadie.
Sadie. Did I do it right?
Yeah, you did it perfectly.
Chicago accent. You never know what you're going to get.
No, totally. It's ideas backwards, just with an extra E. And I've been thinking of dropping that E because then it's just ideas backwards.
That's cool.
I know.
Love it. I love it. Okay. Well, quick intro and then I'll just kick it to you. You don't have to tell your life story, but you know, just anything that you think is beneficial for us to learn about you.
Of course. Well, first of all, my name is Sherry, and I love to do things differently. Started out my career as an artist manager when I was 16, moved over to my first company, Veeps. And then from launching to selling within just 2 years, we turned $300,000 of an investment into $30 million with a Live Nation sale. I'm very proud to say that. And I didn't do that on my own. Definitely a huge shout out to my incredible team. And because I have no chill, I went ahead and did it all over again. Because again, I saw another model within the music industry that desperately needed a revamp. And it kind of went for the jugular of the music industry because the core model that creates a trickle-down effect for everyone is the record label model. So I went for that. And I created basically the Uber of record labels. And the reason why I say that is you wouldn't call an Uber a better taxi. They made their own category and so did we. We're not a label. We're a VC for artists, but we handle all label services. And we're only on year two, three, two and a half, something like that. And we've already gotten to a very beautiful place, which I'm very thankful for. We've raised $12.3 million. We've announced a partnership with Cobalt. We're about to sign two stadium-sized artists in addition to our incredible two clients that we have, and the sky's the limit.
Why music? How'd you get into that industry?
You know, it's so funny because I always felt like I wanted to be in entertainment 100%. Like my mind would always like, I was the textbook definition of a daydreamer. Like I was always elsewhere. And it was always in my fantasy world of movies and fiction and music. And I kind of fell into music in a funny way because I was allowed to go to shows when I was younger. So I went and lied. Don't do that, kids. And I would basically tell my mom, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to Stacy's house. And to go along with my alibi, I had to go to Stacy's house, quote unquote, earlier. So I'd show up to like my friend's shows or like just local shows. And I'd just be like, hey, can I help? Because I'm already here. And they'd be like, yeah, you can do merch. Yeah, you can help us load in. And I kind of like just got the hang of it. And then a few of these local artists were like, hey, do you want to manage us? And I was 16. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I was like, sure. And I figured it out. And, you know, a lot of people like this industry is really hard to kind of like learn, like no one really teaches you. It's like, you really just have to figure it out and ask questions and have mentors. But I was very grateful and fortunate that I got to learn so young. So by the time I was like 18, 19, like I was like, I had it down to a science. But it was always my escape, you know, and it was either going to be film or music and it turned into music. So here we are.
Where do you think you got the confidence just even so early at 16 to show up at a show where a lot of us might, you know, stand against the wall? You were out there asking how you could help.
I've never been a shy person, for better or for worse. And I also don't, you know, that little voice that people have in their heads, like if you see like a cliff and like, you're like, don't jump. And I'm like, nah, like I don't have that fear in my head, which has served me in my life. And also has gotten me into trouble in my early years. But I just think that like, I mean, you trust me, like at some point there's a line where it's like, okay, now you're just being dumb. But for me personally, like I'm not afraid to be turned down. I'm not afraid to fail. Like, for example, if I ask, hey, you guys need some help? And they're like, no. Okay, fine. No. Or if I'm working towards something, and I think a lot of the questions that we ask in our head is always what if, and then a negative statement, like what if it doesn't work? What if they turn me down? What if I fail? Okay, what about the opposite? What if you don't? What if you succeed? What if you kill it? And my brain has always leaned towards that. It's kind of innate, but it's also, like I've definitely had roadblocks and a lot of challenges, but it's like you gotta maybe delusion, I don't know, but it's served me. So that just don't be scared. Don't be scared of whatever potential negative outcomes you think can happen, because what if there are positive outcomes? Think of
Right.
that.
I mean, that is the ideal mindset. A lot of people throw up those roadblocks initially, like, I'm too young. I'm the only woman in the room. No one has done that before. I mean, you're young. You're doing things people have never done before. You're accomplishing like these mega goals. Do those thoughts enter your head, and what happens when they do? And what advice do you have for people who are sort of feeling like they can't shut the voice off? As much as they have accomplished, or maybe as far as they've come in their life, they still encounter that little voice of negativity saying, what if, and then insert the negative piece.
Oh, 100%. And I'd be lying if I said that voice doesn't creep in and win some days. Like, I would get on a call. I was 23, starting my first company, and I'd get on a call and be like, oh, are you the assistant? Just because I was a young woman, like, cute. Or, just a lot of just chauvinistic behavior, a lot of like, people sizing you up because you're a woman, you're young, you must not be capable. Like, it is harder to be, it is significantly harder to do anything as a woman, because what I realized a long time ago is there's no middle ground. There's no, you're reacting. You're just always overreacting. There's never like you're passionate, you're emotional. There's never you're smart, oh, you're conniving. And I just realized a long time ago, there's no like, there's just like, you wouldn't say those things to a man, but you say it to a woman. Like, she's like, oh, you're such a boss. Oh, she's such a bitch. And I've had to, I've been doing this now for 16, how old am I? 16, 17 years at this point. And I've had days and I've had weeks where I've been just really put down and let down. But I always just tell myself, like, okay, fine, prove them wrong. Okay, fine, just keep going. Like, you have to kind of like, to some certain things, you just have to just like let it go, because it can get heavy, but it's up to you what you continue to carry. So it's, I could have all those voices in my head every single day doubting myself, or I can say, okay, if someone feels the need to, for example, size up like a 20-year-old woman and he's like a 50-year-old man, he must feel really insecure to feel the need to do that. And when I think about it that way, it kind of fizzles out the meaning of like what people say and do, if that makes any
Yes.
sense.
No, it's such great perspective. And just those little pieces of what you said, just carrying those around with you to like pull up when you encounter those situations. And the more that you make it through those encounters, the more you practice like the behavior of, okay, I did it. We made it. We're alive. What's next? Like your comfort zone expands so you could handle a greater capacity for uncomfortable situations, or of like worrying about the no. Well, you know what? I got through that last time. So what if they say yes? So really the encouragement is like, get in the arena, get in that
Yeah.
situation, friggin' push for what you want.
100% push for it, because like, and you're still, I mean, I'm 32 and I still encounter some like behavior that I feel like my male partners don't encounter at all, but I think that the trick is always like you gotta nip it in the bud quickly and then move on, because if you linger too much, then you're dramatic, then you're emotional, da da da. I was on a call like maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to like a certain male in like professionally industry, and I just didn't like the way like he was like going about the conversation. I'm like, well, you're being really rude today. Are you having a bad day? Should we reschedule for tomorrow? And but I was just like, no, I'm just like, oh, okay, I just wanted to check. All right, so let's keep going. Like, just quick. Don't like, and unfortunately, it's one of those things where, again, a lot of guys don't have to do this, but it is what it is. If you think about it too much, then it's just like you get, you're like, what's the point? Don't do that. Don't go there. Just be strong. We are We are capable of so much if we allow ourselves to. And I think that a lot of the times, if we're going to make a statement in this world, we just have to kind of keep on going. And you're doing it for you, and you're doing it for like everyone that's supporting you. And again, how people behave has a lot more to do with how they feel about themselves than how they feel about you. So just always remember that. And then it really fizzles out the impact. And yeah, that's the advice I would give, because that's the advice I give myself.
Yeah. What do you do to battle impatience when you've got these like big ideas or you're waiting on a deal? Like how do you work through that feeling of impatience?
I have to 100% admit to you, I'm the most impatient person, but I don't show that side of me because
Maybe self-serving advice. Okay, just
No, but I want to be completely honest. Like, I've gotten significantly more patient, but I wouldn't have gone here having not gone through the spirals of being impatient and how that doesn't help. It doesn't help me, it doesn't help my team. And I have to be as level-headed as I can be if I'm going to lead like an army, especially if we're going to lead something so different, like what I did with Veeps and what I'm doing with First Wire. And if you reach this mindset at a younger age, amazing, good for you. It took me a little bit longer because I tend to be very, very passionate about the things that I'm working on. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Like, look, oh, I'm going to miss an opportunity, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So enjoy the ride, because if I could go back and talk to myself when I was running Veeps and how anxious and stressed I was in certain times, and now that I see what happened, I would have just gone back and be like, Sherry, like, you're good. Like, just relax. Like, this is all gonna pan out beautifully. But I'm also giving that same advice to myself now in this current company, in hindsight, because like there's just no point. Like, if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. If it's not gonna happen, then there's nothing you can do about it. Just know that the universe is working for you, and just meditate. I sometimes when I'm like waiting on a deal and I'm so excited, I'm like, I'll just go sit down and I'll meditate, and a lot of that just comes from anxiety, and then also from the what ifs and the negative side of like things, like what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't go through? Don't go there. There's no point. Because what is it? There's a statistic, and it's 10% of the things that we worry about never actually happen. So just remember that.
That's so true. Well, you are CEO and founder of VerseWire, co-founder of Veeps, and as the leader of the ship at VerseWire, you've proven you're among music's most promising and successful wonder kids. Still call you Wonder Kid.
Thanks. I still get ID'd, and it's so flattering. I'm like,
I love
yes.
it.
Now give me
Yeah.
my wine.
And you strive to open doors for more women and marginalized voices in the industry. We talk a lot on this show about not pulling up the ladder behind you. So, what are your strategies for opening doors for others? And conversely, what has that done for you?
100%. I treat everyone based off of your skill set and not based off of your gender. Coincidentally, I am so proud to say that 60% of Veeps, which was a music tech company to very male-dominated industries, was 60% female. And again, I'm hiring based off of your capabilities. I don't care if you're a female, male, alien, whatever. You're welcome. You're welcome in if you're qualified for that job. It should have always been that way, but that's okay. What do I know? And also, like, just passing it on forward, I think in terms of just like boundaries and respect, and just making sure that your team is like healthy and happy from, because that if your team is taken care of, then that trickles down to like your clients, and then they're taken care of, and it actually makes your job a lot easier. I think it's definitely one of those things that women get. Specifically in entertainment and in tech, which was like, my last company, is we're doubted. We're doubted that we're not capable, so it's harder for us to reach certain levels. But why would I doubt, my own gender? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm capable of. Like, there's no preconceived notions like in my head of like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if they're dramatic? What if they're catty? Like, none of that, because I know who I am. And I also think it, like, people, like, you lead by example. Like, it's just not necessary, you know? And I do think, ironically, and this is something that I always strive to never be, is a lot of the people at the beginning of my career that actually gave me the hardest time were females. Because, you know, it's not, if you're doing well and I come in and I'm doing well, that doesn't negate your achievements. And it felt that way, it turned into a competition where it's like we're supposed to lift each other up. And I promised myself I'd never allow that ever. And I'm honored to say that's not the case with my last company. That's not the case with this company.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have had similar experiences with that fierce competition among women. And
Necessary.
it's so unnecessary. I mean, think about what could happen if we all work together, you know? The biggest change for me is when I decided to flip the script from competition to cheering other people on. Like, what if I just said, like, great job? You know, that's amazing that you earned that. Like, wow, how great will it be for the next woman that you've already been there, right? Like, we also are in competitions where oftentimes the other person doesn't even know like they're in the competition. We just create these things. So if we can just like let it go, focus on yourself, your goals, draw inspiration from other people, and say great job. Like, just give a high five and move on with what you're trying to do. And then, like, maybe you'll have a better network around you as well of women because we're like setting the standard for support rather than compete.
100%. There's no point, and I feel like we're so quick to give like negative feedback, like, oh, fix this, do this. But it's like positive feedback is just as important. And like, yeah, to your point, like it might, like when I was like, I mean, it still happens here and there, but it's like, especially when I was younger, it's like I felt like I was entered into competitions I didn't sign up for. I'm like, dude, like I'm not trying to show you up. I just want to do well. And 90% of the time it was another female, and it's not a competition. Just because if you're doing incredible and I'm doing incredible, that's great. We're not competing, and that's actually one thing that I will say that like we should take a page out of the book from like just like male counterparts. Like they're least likely, they'll build each other up, and we should 100% do the same. And I can understand where like some of our I think a lot of this is just always understanding where people come from. Like innately human beings are good, and I really do believe that. There's actually very few evil people out there. And if, again, we got to remember these things. So if you just remember, it's like it's coming from insecurity, it's coming from past trauma of their like previous experiences, and just having honest conversations with like, look, I want you to do well too. Like sometimes a quick conversation like that can completely change something. And don't be afraid to have those conversations. Like there's strength in vulnerability. And yeah.
Well, speaking of success and winning, you've had a lot of that. And one I want to talk about is you and your team, you signed the ACT Beauty School Dropout, and their total streams catapulted from 4 million to 40 million, and they
50
saw
million.
50 million,
Mm-hmm.
and they saw 600% increase in streams on Spotify, 400% on Apple Music, and they went from playing in thrift stores for 200 people to arenas with Blink-182. So, first of all, how do you identify this kind of talent? And second, like, how did you achieve those types of results? Those numbers are aspirational for most people in business, and you freaking did it. So, what were the keys to getting it done?
Thanks. No, I it's so cool to just hear those because I forget sometimes because I'm just like in it every single day. Well, the first thing is that us sussing out our first signing was going to be a big deal because I didn't want to sign in like an established artist. I needed to sign an emerging artist to prove that not only our business model worked on the money side, but also we were able to develop an artist. Because for example, if I signed like a Blink-182 level band, everyone would be like, well, duh, that's Blink-182, that wasn't you. So me, myself, Mark Hoppus, Pete Wentz, and one of my other partners, Nick Littman, we were looking everywhere. We were going to showcases. We were having conversations. I was looking on TikTok, like literally everywhere. So this is what I tell people, like always be on your A game because you never know who's watching. I found a few artists that like I'm currently talking to, literally just scrolling through TikTok. So content is important. But what we always look for, honestly, what we were looking for, I was looking for an artist that was multifaceted. That not only just like, you know, were great performers, but also like knew how to produce and write and had like a really creative brain. Because in this day and age, you have to be multifaceted because The barrier to entry is so, like, anyone can make a song and release it on a DSP. So that was one thing. The right attitude is everything. Like, there's an impression that it's like you just, tour and party, and that couldn't be further from the truth. It is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of daily hard work. And you got to be ready for it. And you got to, like, you're going to have your days where you're like, oh, I'm just so tired, but you got to keep going. The right attitude, hardworking, a good management team behind them, because if, like, they don't have an experienced manager, or like a manager again with the right attitude, I can't do my job. So a lot of different things, right? So those were the main things. And Beauty School Dropout was actually someone that Nick Littman, my partner, brought up to me, and I was just like, yeah, I'll check it out. And he, like, puppeted this little, like, meetup where he's like, oh, come to the show. Like, one of our friends was performing. I was like, all right, sick. And so we were sat at dinner, and Beauty School Dropout was right there. I'm like, who are sweet boys? And they're like, oh, we're Beauty School Dropout. I'm like, oh, crap. I was supposed to listen to your music. And then I did. I was just like, okay, wait a minute. There's bones here. And also, I wanted to find someone that had already done the work. Like, I'm not gonna, like, you can't form a band today and have me sign you tomorrow. Like, I want to see what you're capable of. Write music, promote it, go bust your butt, and let me see what you're building. And I saw they were in a really good place that they've accomplished on their own. And Mark really liked their vibe and music. Pete did as well. We had meetings, and we're like, okay, let's go ahead and get this going. And so we had the right case study from that aspect. But then a lot of those numbers are hugely based off of everything altogether. The band, really working hard on their music, us bringing in the right producers, the right writers, because it all starts with the music. If the music isn't good, nothing will work. The right marketing team, the right radio team, the right PR team. And these were just like, these are veterans in the industry that we've pulled in to work with us on our clients. And it's pulling all levers at once, it's and doing it strategically. There was a lot of strategy behind it, a lot of partnerships, a lot of incredible producers and songwriters we pulled on, a lot of relationships that myself, Nick, Maya, who's our project manager, Mark and Pete have had through our years with, like, the Vivos and the Spotifys and the Apple Musics, and getting our clients in the right rooms. And it was all a huge accumulation of all of that put together. So it's not one thing. It never is one thing. If it's gonna be one thing, it's the song. But then again, if that song needs to reach a good amount of ears, there's probably really smart marketing behind it. There's probably a good radio campaign behind it. There's probably a relationship at a DSP that helped elevate it. It's accumulation of all that.
So you mentioned so many teams that you brought in from marketing and publicity and songwriters. And I mean, the list went on and on and on and on and on. How do you make those decisions on who are the right teams to bring in? And are you setting a budget beforehand, or are you just betting and going all in that if you throw the A game at this project, like you believe in it enough that it's going to work? Like what's the philosophy?
100%. Well, I spin a bottle and then randomly. No. I wish it was that way, man. Sometimes too. No, it's a lot of strategy. So that's why VerseFire is a combination between in-house, like, employees and contractors, because it is not a copy and paste. If something works for one artist, it's not going to work for another. It might. Chances are it won't. And that's the traditional record label model, where, for example, they put Cardi B's radio player on, let's just say, I don't know, like Incubus. Like, that very different relationships, very different genre. It probably won't work. And so what we do is, for every artist, we first analyze where, like, the holes of their businesses are that they need the most amount of support. So, like, okay, do you need more production support? Do you need more songwriting support? How's your stage presence? You guys are killing it at social media. Oh, shoot, you need a lot of help on social media. We need some creative direction here. Let's bring in our creative director. Oh, wow, you guys are already really good with creative direction. Okay, let's run with that. It's not a one size fits all. And so we custom tailor the resources from the get-go, and then we tweak as we go. The same way with, like, literally running a business. Like, do you know how many tweaks we did with Veeps to get it to, like, the final business model? And same with VerseFire. It's like, and you gotta pivot quickly. There's no time. Like, okay, try this out. review the tape back and okay, let's keep going. This is working. Or okay, quick, let's tweak this. Okay, let's remove this and add this. And it's a lot of strategy that I'm very grateful to say that myself and my team have from our many years of experience and just knowing when to put what lever. So for example, if you're a growing artist, radio isn't good for you right off the bat because stations just don't know who you are. So it's more important to grow your marketing and your social media. And then once that grows, take that, take those results and bring it back to radio and go look. Whereas for example, if you're an established artist like Blink, go to radio with your singles. So it varies. It varies for every artist, for every stage of their career. And it's constant artist development. Artist development is a loose term that people use for like a growing artist. Every artist at every stage of their career needs artist development because this industry is always changing. TikTok is a recent tool that wasn't around even, I want to say 5 years ago, and it's the main marketing tool now. That's artist development.
Well, I love that concept of artist development, just applying that to literally any human. Like, we are always under development. And I think when we get stuck in that fixed mindset and we're not really fully experiencing life, right? Like, or
Totally.
living into your full talent, if you're saying, like, oh, this is good, I'm gonna just sit here and be comfortable. And
Yeah.
here you are, like, working with these artists saying, this can be better. This can be better. This is great. Let's focus here. Like that constant feedback loop. Imagine the growth trajectory of this group, right? When you're just in it, in it, in it. And like, what could happen if you looked through that lens, like at your own business or your own self, right? Like, what type of pathway could you create?
Totally. We're all always under construction, if you will. And that's not to sound daunting. That's actually kind of beautiful. Like, I don't want to wake up and do the same thing every single day. Like, that's actually probably the reason why I love my job because every day is so different. And it's just a constant reevaluation of where you're at and how to make the best of every situation and every song that you put out and every meeting that you take. And just, it's just constant a constant development, if you will.
Well, let's talk about your next act, Travis Mills-led band Girlfriends, that you pulled 12.3 million in seed and Series A investment. What's it like to be in that room, leading that room, asking for that kind of money, and how did you land those meetings in the first place?
Sure. However you think it's going to take you to raise money, double it or triple it. That's how long it's going to take you. I'm very grateful to say that because of my, first company, it took me 6 months to raise even that much for Veeps, by the way. Like a very 6 months to 8 months, right? A very long time to even raise just like 300,000 or something like that. And the second time is easier, but of course I needed more money. And so I'm very grateful to say in the first, like, private friends and family round, almost all my Veeps investors came back. So grateful for that because, they were like, oh, okay, you know what you're doing. I'm like, no, but thank you. And it was building the case study and building the results and going back to investors and going like, look, look, potential investors. And I'm not exaggerating. I think I've taken maybe just for VerseWire, never mind Veeps. Just for VerseWire, I've probably taken 200 meetings just for investment, and my total investors probably amounted to like, to get to our 12.3 was probably like 10. So 190 of those meetings went nowhere, and that's okay because I only needed 10 of them to believe in this or to want to like actually invest and not just be a supporter. So. I mean, raising money is the hardest thing. It's a full-time job in and of itself. It takes a lot of guts and a lot of belief. But I have to say, like, if you have to really believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in you, you can't expect others to A, believe in you and B, give you their money. No one owes you their money. And so it's about like really trusting yourself and then taking it very seriously. I mean, I'm Persian, I'm very frugal. So I always tell people like I'm not in the business of wasting anyone's money. I don't waste my own money. I treat this like my own money as well. So every penny, I'm like they're like little soldiers out there that I'm hoping will make my investors more money. But it's not only that because I can go on and on about the actual financial aspect of it. But I learned a long time ago because when I was in my younger years, very like fuck, feels like a lifetime ago. I was a Apple Genius Manager, and I learned from Apple's like whole like mantra is people don't care what you're doing, they care why you're doing it. And that always stuck with me because I thought that was such an interesting thing to say. But then I was just like, oh, if I tell you, yeah, I put out music and I market them for clients, you'd be like, oh, okay, so does everyone else. Good for you, Sherry. But if I'm like, hey, Emily, I am changing this industry's overall business model and introducing the first ever venture capital for artists because I want artists to be the own CEOs of their own business and to completely introduce a new model to something that's never worked for artists since inception. Now I have your attention. And people came on board, the people that did come on board, which again, so grateful, is because they wanted to be a part of the why. They wanted to be a part of history. And that's what we're doing. And we're honored to lead it. This is the solution that artists desperately need. This is where the industry is going to go in any way. We're the ones leading it, and we're honored.
If you are listening to this podcast, I know you are a busy professional. We can agree we are always looking for products that are convenient and make life easier. Mobot water bottles are one of these products. It's a water bottle and a foam roller in one. I use the water bottle at the gym, staying hydrated in boot camp and then flipping the bottle on its side at the end of class to quickly foam roll my legs. It helps with recovery and gets me back to work faster. Get yours at mobot.com and use the code LEADERSHIPISFEMALE, all one word, to get 15% off. Support Lonnie Cooper, the female founder of this product, and support yourself. This is a must-have wellness water bottle. It's a new year, and I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Leadership is Female podcast, Staffy. That's S-T-A-F-I, and they can be found at getstaffy.com. We are all busy professionals, and we have a lot on our plate, and GetStaffy is here to help. They are a virtual assistant company. They're virtual assistants, legal assistants, receptionists, intake client specialists, sales representatives, and paralegals are thoroughly trained and effectively can manage multiple tasks from answering customer inquiries to booking your family activities and managing your calendar and appointments. Plus, you get to save costs with our easy subscription-based service. That's getstaffy.com or reach out to me at Emily Jansen on Instagram, and I will connect you directly to their people. They are a phenomenal company, and we've got an interview with their CEO on the podcast. If you need help, if your company needs help, if you need a virtual assistant that can help save costs and get more done, GetStaffy is the way to do it. GetStaffy.com and mention Leadership is Female, or let me know, and I will put you in touch. Let's go. Do you need a keynote speaker for your next conference, ERG meeting, event, or group? I'm here, raising my hand. I help leaders grow their confidence so that they can lead more intentional, goal-directed, fulfilled, and happy lives. We are conditioned from our childhood to stay small. Don't be conceited. Run in the middle of the pack, because if we speak out too much or shine too brightly, we will offend other people. This could not be more wrong. When you are your best, most confident leader, you give others permission to shine too. So, how do we get there? How do we increase our confidence? I love sharing my best practices and proven methods to help leaders grow into who they are meant to be. Your most confident, authentic self, ready to take on your next biggest challenge in the office and in your personal life. Get in touch at emilyjansen.com.
This is an opportunity for everyone to pause this interview and go and reevaluate your sales pitch. Do you have the why, right? Or are you just saying
Do you
what?
You have the why. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
100%. Because I swear to God, like, if you really think about it, half the reason you buy things, get invested in things, I like not just monetary, but like mentally, is because of the why. Get behind the why. Understand your why. And if you don't have a core why, figure it out.
Well, it's early in the year. Have you set your goals for yourself and for your company? And what's your approach?
100%. Yep. I actually kind of started on those goals, forgive me, in December. And I think the biggest thing, right, is I have spent so much time fixating, and this is actually another thing, fixating on specific things that I want to happen. And it's so important to have goals, but don't let those be the end all be all of your level of happiness and what you deem as success. Because, for example, a couple of my goals this year are I'm onboarding some new artists, and these are stadium-sized artists. I hope to onboard three this year, in addition to the two that we have. We opened our pub arm, and I hope to onboard several very high-level artists that we're currently speaking to as well. And that'll and you know, make this all very successful. I have all my clients have incredible releases, be really happy with the rooms that they're in for production and writing, and have really, really smart marketing behind it all. And that's what I would deem as a success, is my clients' level of happiness, their growth, and also my team's internal their happiness and also their, stability. I think it's so easy to fixate on okay, I need three clients here, and I need seven clients here, and da da da. Do your best, go with the flow, because sometimes I feel like we spend so much time swimming against a current. And if you lift your hands up and see where the current's trying to take you, it might not be so bad. It's probably even better as to what you thought. Don't get so fixated on specific milestones. They're goals. But for me, it's about just the overall growth and just, laying one brick down every single day, because that one brick may feel insignificant, but then I'll turn around and a house is made by the end of the year. Every day I kind of lay down a brick, and every day I try to make one move that's important. Whether it's getting on the phone with my artist and talking about their music direction for the next cycle, whether it's meeting a new director, and so that adds to the directors that I love to reach out for music videos, whether it's meeting a new investor. Every day I try to lay down one brick.
I love how you described go with the flow. Like maybe it's been a very long time, or that's completely original what you said, but like you're swimming against the current because you're going after this like laser focus goal, but it's not happening for you. Like what happens when you put your hands up and let the current take you? Like what is the direction that you're supposed to be facing?
Yeah, because there are so many times where we fight for things to happen, and it's knowing when you're fighting for something that's not meant to be, or whether you're chasing an opportunity. Two very different things. If something's not clicking, just let it go for a second. Come back to it, or just just it's. I think we put a lot more pressure on ourselves than we think, and yeah, I mean. I think even if I like here's a great example. I was chasing this one very specific investor. This is before we got our first 2 mil for financing, and I was just like going, I was like ah, going crazy, and then literally I just calmed down, and I was like, you know what? I need to just focus on my clients for a second. We're good. There's nothing I need to chase right at the second. And I'm not even kidding you. Out of complete left field, we had a huge opportunity come in from someone I wasn't even thinking of. They were just like, yeah, we're in. Where do I sign? And I was like, oh, okay. And it was a much better scenario than what I was chasing for. But it's because I had my frequency match what needed to be in order to bring in that energy, you know?
Yeah. Well, when I do keynotes, a lot of people are afraid to set the goal in the first place because they're afraid to fail. And I often tell them, like, sometimes it's not that final destination of reaching the goal. It's the journey that's really it's gonna move you in the direction that you were supposed to go. And a lot of times it's like giving up that dream that's gonna put you in the place where you're like meant to be. So, don't hold on so tight. And I think you have like just that's such a great example of like, all right, that was my goal, like landing this specific money from this specific person. I finally like let it go. I stopped chasing my tail, and then like you just kind of moved back into center, like moved back into flow into what was next, and you got the
I put my
money.
hands up. I put my
Yeah.
hands up, and I was like, okay, let's see where the current's trying to take me. Yeah, they're goals. They're not I don't know how to explain. It's not life or death. And what I
Right.
see a lot of times is I mean, I take my job very seriously. My whole team does. But I'm not saving a life. So if something doesn't happen today, that's okay. Like, I remember one of my clients was really, really stressed one day about like not making this deadline for a music video that I made. Okay. Like, I was like, okay, I want it done on the 20th. And he's like, oh my God, what if we don't get it done? And then we're on tour and then da da da. And I was just like, you know what happens if you deliver it on the 21st? Nothing. You want to know what happens if the music video comes out a month later? Nothing. I was like, these are goals. Goals doesn't mean it ha like it's goals for us to keep us on track. That's what it is. Goal, you create the goals to keep you on track, but nothing bad happens if you don't hit those goals.
Oh,
You
and
okay,
sometimes
just
the unintended consequences can sometimes be better than if you had hit it on the 20th in the first place, right? Like, so you're exactly right. The goal is meant to keep you on track. It's meant to keep you pushing forward, moving towards the next thing, progressing your life, your company, the people around you. And it's not this like written in stone destination. It's creating a pathway. Sometimes,
a
you
checkpoint.
wander.
Yeah, it's a checkpoint that we want to hit, and we're gonna hit it. And I've marked it in a calendar so we make sure that it's still happening and we're on track. This is a word that doesn't work for me, but it's a word that I tell myself often. Relax. It's what if it works out better than you ever thought?
Yeah, it's so true. Well, you've got to have had a few hurdles that you've needed to overcome along this journey. What's one of the bigger ones, and how did you overcome it, and what did you learn?
How much time do we have?
Yeah.
Let me think of some. I mean, like, okay. So, for example, I think fundraising has always been a huge, huge hurdle. And thinking that, let's just say when I reached my 100th meeting, I was just like, you know what? Maybe this idea is stupid. Maybe this isn't going to work. Maybe, and then just quickly correcting myself and just going, okay. I think this is stupid. Okay, let's go back to the drawing board and let me actually look at it. And maybe I'll make a tweak. Maybe I'll change this. Maybe I'll change how I pitch it or the verbiage. But I'm like, no, it's good. But clearly, maybe something's not clicking. So let me revise my pitch. Don't doubt yourself because other people are. It's their job to. Everyone's hesitant. Like everyone's like, you got to remember, investors are being pitched to all the time. And they're also, they want a good opportunity that's going to make them more money, and they also want something that's like different and going to make them look good. So there could be a multitude of reasons why they may not come on board or not come on board when you want them to. Don't take it personally, but go back to the drawing board and make sure you're presenting your idea, your company, your pitch in the best way. That's a major hurdle that, like, for me, I mean, I literally had to revise my pitches so many times just to make sure it clicked better. And also just like in general, like just how women are perceived, that's a huge, huge hurdle for me. Again, there's no safe spot, there's no like middle ground for a woman. It's like you're always too much or not enough or overreacting and not just reacting, or a bitch when you're just being stern and like laying down the law because like someone's wasting a lot of your company, like resources, and you're just like, hey, and they're like, ugh. That's always been really challenging for me because I'm like, you wouldn't react this way if I was a guy. But it's about just choosing your words very carefully, which unfortunately we have to do. And also just letting it go. Like I sometimes have to think to myself, I'm like, okay, could I have handled that better? And then I think to myself, I'm like, maybe I could have, and I'll pivot that next time. Or maybe I'm just like, no. And meditate on it and let it go. That's been a huge one for me because I am a very nice person and I care a lot about how people feel and how like my company's presented and I'm presented and stuff. And if anything's misinterpreted or just treated differently because I am a woman, like at some point, like I kind of have to just make peace with that and move on. And that's been challenging over the course of my career. Because it's not fun.
Right. No, it's not. But I want to point out one thing you said. You said 100th meeting.
Yeah.
So many times we think like, oh, this is my fifth, right? Or my third. They didn't say yes, right? Like, unrealistic expectations can kill you every single time. Like, you have to keep going after whatever it is that you believe in and your proof that it works. And Think about that next time, you know, for our listeners, when you're encountering a roadblock or you're trying to sell something and you haven't got a yes yet, or you're behind on your numbers, like 100th meeting, like how many have you done? Like what has your effort matched what is necessary to make that achievement?
There are scenes in movies of like on like stories of the entrepreneurs that came out to be like big fucking deals, right? And there's always a scene of them getting in a car and screaming. And I cannot tell you how accurate that is. And you will feel that. And you will feel crazy. And people will say that you're crazy, or people will say that there's no way this is going to work. And again, don't take that and just be like, oh my God, you're right. Review how you're explaining your dream, your vision. Review how you're pitching it. Practice with people and just keep going, because like, look, be stubborn. The universe falls in love with a stubborn heart. Be stubborn. Just be like, well, it's going to work. And there's so many times where like, there's actually this scene. I'm such a dork. There's a scene in Star Trek, like the one of the latest ones with like the remake, like with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and stuff. And there's a scene where like Spock goes, because he's a rational one, right? He's like, there's a 4% chance we're going to succeed. And then Kirk was like, it's going to work. And he's like, 4%. He's like, it's going to work. And that's how I am. Like, don't like, I don't 2% of startups succeed. Great. Mine's one of the 2%. And I'm stubborn enough to believe that. I truly, really do believe that. So if people are going to throw stats at you for every reason why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, be the 2%. Period.
I love it. Well, when you're not working, what are you doing?
Sleeping. what do, I love swimming. Oh my God. I'm like, I love the beach. I love surfing. I love swimming. I love, painting. I'm currently into gardening. It's very peaceful and relaxing. I honestly, because work takes up so much of my time, any of my free time, I just love to spend it with my loved ones. So I'm doing any of those activities with my loved ones. I'm such a foodie. Oh my God. That is like the key to my heart. I love like going to new restaurants. I'm a movie fanatic. So, I'm always down to go see a movie, but honestly, like anything that's just creative and or like moving my body, you know, because 90% of my job is this set.
Yes. Well, at least you have a great pink chair.
Thank you. You know, I actually refuse to ever wear pink, but I love pink like in like my home. So it's just, there's no logic to it, but it's fine.
I love it. I love it. Okay. We could talk forever, but we'll jump into the final four. What's one piece of advice you'd give women today so that they can level up tomorrow?
Don't ever doubt yourself ever, ever. You are gonna reach the top. Just keep going. That's what
Where
I was
saying. Where are you traveling to next?
France.
What is your pump up song?
Ooh, hold on. Is this PG? Let me think. I really, really, and Mark's probably going to hear this, Blink, All the Small Things, just always puts me in such a good mood. So that.
Love it. And then finally, what's your favorite quote?
It's a Walt Disney quote, and I have it tattooed on my arm, and it says, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. Because anytime I kind of hit a milestone, that's just what always goes in my head of like, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. Like when I was so blessed to, you know, announce the 12.3 million raise and the Cobalt partnership on Variety, I was like, cool. Those are moments that like, and that's the thing. It's like, what I always say is, and this is something that like I personally, you know, didn't do with my last company, and I wish I did. It's like, when you reach those milestones, celebrate. Like, don't get on top of a mountain and then immediately look at the next mountain and be like, I want to climb that. Sit on your mountain. You'll get to the other mountain. Just sit, enjoy the view. Enjoy it. And yeah, so I popped a bottle of champagne with a few of my friends and a few of my partners and colleagues, and just had a really good day that day. So yeah, enjoy it. Because if you are always waiting for the end goal, like, what, you're going to go through like years and years of, you know, not enjoying it for one day of enjoying it, and then you won't even enjoy it because you don't know how to anymore. There's no point. There's no point. Live.
I love that. You are amazing. And
You're amazing. This is fun.
this has been so fun. I've loved every minute of this. And I know that our audience is going to get so much from hearing all of your words of wisdom and following your success and leading the way forward and, showing us how to celebrate. I love that. And being part of that 2%. Believe in yourself. It's
Believe in
been.
you. It's a daily practice. Daily. You don't go to the doctor once and never go again. You don't eat a salad once and eat burgers for the rest of your life and go, "Where are my abs?" It's a daily practice. Do it. Because the only person that suffers if you don't is you.
So, where can we follow along on your journey?
My Instagram is at Sherry Saity, just my name and last name because I'm boring like that. That's really the only social media I have, but that versefire.com for any updates at versefire on our socials. But yeah, follow along on this little adventure that we call life, you know?
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll link those in the show notes. And yeah, this has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so great. It was lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for your time. I'm also in love with your color coordinated books right there. Like, I'm so OCD and I've been staring at that and I really respect
Black
it.
and white is up here.
That's my girl. I love
Yeah.
it. Thank you again for having me. This is so much fun.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Time is your most precious resource, and it means the world that you spent it with us. Please help us reach more people who need to hear these interviews by hitting the subscribe button and the 5-star rating on your iPhone. Do you know someone who could benefit from this interview? Please share it. Take a screenshot and post to your Instagram stories, copy the link and share on LinkedIn, or text that link to your colleague. The Leadership is Female podcast exists to showcase female leadership in sports and entertainment and give you the tips to level up. We will extend a hand back to lead you forward. Extend the same hand by sharing this with someone who needs to hear it. One last thing. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Leadership is Female. Now, take this lesson and run. Let's go.